Our passage this morning, as we get into God's word, is a challenging one, a warning and an exhortation given in love. We're picking up in Hebrews chapter 10, and I may read even just a few verses before what I've got up there on the screen. Last week we finished off with some of these words. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that has sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There's a bit more to our passage, but we'll break off there for a minute. It's a challenging word, isn't it? Sin is a very serious thing. Sin is a defiance of our Creator, of the Almighty Living God. He has made us, and he knows objectively, and he is objectively, what is right and what is good. And sin is when his creations reject him, reject his authority, and put ourselves in his place and say, "I will decide what is right and I will decide what is wrong for me." Sin is an attempt to throw God from his throne and place ourselves there instead. As Christians, we know that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus dealt with that sin by dying in our place, because it couldn't just be waved away. A death needed to happen. And so he died in the place of his people. And knowing that Jesus has paid for our sins, it can be an easy mistake for us to make to think that our sins are small, that they're not a big deal. We need to be reminded that sin is a very serious thing. As we grow in maturity in the Christian faith, as we grow in our knowledge of who God is, we realize that sin is bigger than we thought. Our sin is not just against a creator who happened to make this world, but the one that we're kicking off the throne in our lives is the one who gave his life for us. The one who left his father's courts above and came and dwelt among us and gave his life in our place. And as we begin our lives as Christians, we can think avoiding sin is as easy as just not breaking the Ten Commandments, not doing those big things. But I think as we grow in our maturity, as we the Spirit works in us, we begin to see thoughts and attitudes and parts of our heart that remain in rebellion to God. We begin to realize we're more sinful than we thought. That even sometimes the good things that we do have some selfish motives behind them. I want you to put your hand up with me if you have sinned. I should hope that should be fairly universal. I want you to keep your hand up with me if you have done something that you knew was a sin since you've become a follower of Jesus. Should we just go home now? Is there nothing left for us but a fearful expectation of judgment? I think we're anticipating the answer that I'm going to give. But it's good for us to be reminded, rightfully, we all deserve God's judgment. Rightfully, we all deserve hell. A number of pictures of hell are given, you know, through Jesus' teaching and throughout the Bible. Some speak of, you know, the fire and the worm that, you know, consumes. Others speak of just like darkness, outer darkness. A number of Jesus' parables just speak of like, you know, there's a party and you're locked out. You're on the outside, separated from God and facing his judgment. It's good for us to know the truth that that's what we deserve. And to not just know it here, but to know it deeply. And we need these warnings, we need these reminders. But if we have sinned since we've known Jesus, knowing it was sin, are we disqualified from the kingdom of God? No. I think the context here is very important for us to understand what Hebrews is talking about. What is in view when he talks about deliberately keeping on sinning? What it is that he says is effectively trampling the Son of God underfoot and treating as an unholy thing. And that doesn't mean like treating as evil, but just treating as ordinary, as not special. Treating as a profane thing in the old-fashioned language. The blood of the blood that has sanctified us. And insulting the Spirit of grace. The passage goes on for the author of Hebrews to contrast the Jewish believers' endurance when they were faced with persecution and suffering in previous instances. And he's contrasting that now to their temptation to fall away, to walk away from Jesus, to return to the old covenant, to seek to honor God without Jesus being part of the picture. He exhorts them, as we'll see in a minute, not to throw away their confidence. He exhorts them to persevere, to be those who have faith and are saved, not those who shrink back and are destroyed. And I think that gives us some context for this deliberate sin that he is talking about. Knowing Jesus and then denying him and walking away from him. Salvation, we've seen clearly, that's been a big theme of Hebrews so far. Salvation is only found in Jesus. If we step away from him, there is no salvation. There is no returning to God. So what about our sins that we commit, though? The ones that maybe were weighing on your conscience just a moment ago as we were talking about deliberately keeping on sinning. They do matter. They are big. Let's put them to death daily Let's help one another to put them to death. And let's allow others to help us to put them to death, which is a difficult thing because we have to let other brothers and sisters in behind the carefully curated image of who we are. But we want to do that. We want to fight sin. We want to put it to death daily, not because we fear judgment if we don't get it right. Because as John tells us, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. It's not the fear of punishment that drives us to want to be holy and to put sin to death, but because we love Jesus, our Savior. Because we trust that His way is best. Because we truly believe that our rebellion has only brought, you know, evil and suffering into this world. And we want to go His way. His way is best, even when it's not easy. Even when He leads us through persecution and hardship and trials of all kinds. Which brings us to the next part of the passage. Starting at verse 32, for those who like to follow along. Remember those earlier days, after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. It's easy for us to look at the Jewish believers that this letter is written to and think, how could they even possibly think about stepping away from Jesus? But they had faced very real trials and suffering and persecution. Let's not diminish what they had faced. And that suffering was causing them to waver now, at this point in time. And so the author of Hebrews compares where they're at now to where they were when they first faced this persecution, to how it was when they first tasted what it was going to be like to be followers of Jesus. They were publicly insulted and persecuted, but they persevered. And then not only that, but you know, having tasted that themselves, when others were insulted and persecuted, they deliberately chose to stand alongside those people, knowing that that would bring its own persecution and insult. Would we, if we weren't the ones in the spotlight, if we weren't the ones being targeted, would we be willing to put our hands up and say, hey, include me too. I'm with them. That's a big thing done in faith. They suffered along with those in prison. And presumably, like, I think it's important to have ministries to people in prison, but presumably in this context, it's talking about those from the church who were imprisoned for their faith. And that difficulty was not just faced by those who were in prison, but that the whole church suffered with them. They bore, you know, the responsibility of caring for them. People were not well fed and looked after in prisons in those days. If you wanted to make sure that they, you know, had enough, you had to provide for them. They suffered alongside with those who were imprisoned. I want to see I'm just looking it up because I want the exact wording here. You joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Can you imagine if the government of Australia decided today that they or anyone else could take whatever they wanted from Christians without legal recourse, without consequences. Can you imagine if people could just come along and take your things? Let's be honest, I know that there would be some in this church that would be forming militias. Violent response. There might be others that accept it because I guess it's just something we have to accept, but maybe with this bitterness and resentment about the whole situation, the losing of our things. But they joyfully accepted the confiscation of their property because they knew they had better and lasting possessions. What a picture that is of faith in action. It's easy to say God matters more than our possessions, but it's much harder when they're actually on the line. We have so much that God has given to us. And on this earth, in this life, there are times when a lot of it can be taken away. Our possessions, our health, our freedom can be put into prison. Our lives can be taken away in the service of Jesus. But in Christ we have a promise that can never be taken away, of forgiveness, of the family of God, of belonging, of being made new, of seeing God face to face and dwelling with Him eternally. These promises can never be taken away. So don't throw away your confidence, because it will be rewarded. Persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Are we ready to face hard things? To live through hard times? Some of us maybe already are living through hard times. They can take many forms. In the beginning of James's letter, he says, "Let us consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." It's not as though persecution and suffering and hardship is just one thing. There are many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In facing hard things and hard times is a life that matters. Is things worth doing? Is making a difference? Those things typically come or at least begin in the hard times. In God working in us through them. And I think of, like, there's a number of movies that I love. Movies that inspire me to want to do the hard things, even though they're the hard things, because they're the right thing to do. You know, I think of Theoden and his, you know, leading the Rohirrim in Lord of the Rings before the walls of Minas Tirith. And, you know, he's made a decision to do the right thing. And before the battle, they embrace the possibility that death is likely for them. And yet they ride anyway because it's the right thing to do. I think of Peter Parker in Spider-Man 2, who, after all of the torment that he faces from, you know, all the difficulty that he has in his life, all the interpersonal conflict that comes from being Spider-Man, he decides he wants to be Spider-Man anyway. And embraces the cost. I could list a whole bunch of other examples. Some of them might not even be from movies that are like 20 years old. I've actually, if it's gone up now, I've put a post up on the church Facebook page, Facebook group, to share the scenes from the movies that are the ones that inspire you to want to do hard things, to want to face hard things. Maybe if you've got time this afternoon, you could watch one of those movies that inspires you to want to do hard things. Doing what's right when it's hard. It's so powerful to watch, and it's so hard to do. And so it's good for us to have things like this, and even things like some of those movies that encourage us, that lift our eyes to want to be people who stand up in hard times, who hold on firm in hard times, who do what is right no matter what they face. Now, it's not likely many of us will end up in literal battles on a battlefield. And not all of us will face the same kind of persecution that these believers that Hebrews is written to faced. But God calls every believer to persevere. And He gives us circumstances that need to be persevered. And in so doing, He produces character in us. Character like Jesus, who underwent the ultimate in suffering, in humiliation, in degradation and persecution on our behalf for the joy set before Him, motivated by the love that He had for those that He would save. And in all of the things that we might face, we have an unshakable hope of a kingdom not of this world. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. We belong to those who have faith and are saved. We face hardships of all kinds now. And as the world around us grows increasingly hostile to Jesus in many ways, it seems unlikely that's going to get less in the future. Let's persevere. Let's trust Him in hard times. Let's do hard things, not throwing away our confidence, because it will be richly rewarded. Do hard things, because He's worth it. Do hard things, because He is with us. And He who promised is faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we have sinned. Even since we have known You and what You have done for us, we have gone our own way. We have not always done the things that we should do, and we have done things that we know that we shouldn't have done. We ask for Your forgiveness. We ask for Your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts as we set about putting to death sin day by day. Lord, please guard us from that, the ultimate sin of turning away from You, rejecting You, choosing not to be counted with Jesus when life gets hard. But whatever difficulty might come our way, whatever hardship we might face, may we face it boldly. If we lose the things we have here on earth, may we be reminded and live in the faith that we have better and eternal possessions. If we face persecution, may we find comfort in knowing that they also persecuted You, but You have triumphed, risen from the dead and reigning at the right hand of God the Father. And for those who stand firm in You, whatever we face will be the triumph, will be the eternity spent with You. Lord, I pray for everybody in this room that's currently facing hard times. Pour out Your strength afresh on them. Enable them to lean on their brothers and sisters in Christ where it's needed, that we might strengthen one another and encourage one another. You are good. You are faithful. And your promises we can hold on to absolutely. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.